Broadcasting live from the Capital OTV studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Bonjour, as they say in France. Good morning. Welcome to the ARC edition of Racing Across America. As again, we are showing the ARC card here on the network. We are underway. The ARC is race number 4 of 8 on that card. We will continue on. The ARC is going to come up in about 4 minutes, 10:55. We will also show the Prix de l'Opera and the other races as well. But I'm just saying that 10:55 start time is going to come towards the end of the show. A little bit later on in the program, we'll be joined by the big A, Anthony Stabile. He'll jump on and give us some thoughts on today's Empire 6. It is a mandatory pay. The Empire 6 at Belmont today, $725,000 already in the pot. I'm guessing this is a little different, and they haven't done enough of them now to have a real feel, but I'm guessing another couple million probably in the pool is a safe bet. So jump in at the 20-cent increment and take your shot on the Empire 6. I have a bankroll today with the Empire that will be playing out in the front part of the clubhouse racebook, but we'll be doing cut-ins here on the network during the afternoon. But if you want to come down and watch, be handicapping and doing essentially OTB Live out from the front side of the racebook. Also, you can watch all the NFL games there, too, because it is an NFL Sunday here at the clubhouse racebook as well. Wear a jersey, you get in for free, and you can also put your name on a square and maybe win a jersey or a food voucher. So it's always a lot of fun here Sundays at the clubhouse racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. I'm going to set the ARC up here a little bit, and then we're going to step back and watch the ARC, come back from that one and do a little stakes recap, because it was a very nice stakes day yesterday with plenty of Breeders' Cup implications. Boy, you can see the course there at Longchamp. And it looks gorgeous, and I'm sure there's a big crowd there, as the parking lot would seem to indicate. And it is a big day with a field of 12. I'm looking at the odds right now, currently enable 3-5. For me, a couple of the Aidan O'Brien runners are interesting. Magical, she is fabulous, and if you remember last year, she was right behind Enable in the Breeders' Cup turf. I mean, they came over and faced the boys in America and ran 1-2 and looked very good doing it. Magical has had another good year this year. Again, going out for Aidan O'Brien. Magical, you're getting 19-1. The number 9 horse, Magical. Number 10 is Japan, also from Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore on board. Aiden's kid is Donica is on the 9 Magical. Ryan Moore's up on Japan. Again, another good year for this 3-year-old from the Aidan O'Brien barn. And that one currently the third choice at 9-1. So the 9 and the 10 are interesting to me. The 12 is taking the action as the second choice. Sutsash, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, comes in off 3 nice wins most recently on the resume, including one right here at Longchamp in prep for this race. So off of that race over the course, certainly attracting some attention, the 12. But if I'm rooting for Enable, for the 3-peat. I mean, she's just been phenomenal throughout the career. 13 wins and 14 starts. Just is on an incredible win streak that includes 2 prior ARCs. So I'm rooting for number 8, Enable, but my options, the 9 and the 10, they are speaking to Aidan O'Brien. So I'll send it to the ARC broadcast. We'll catch the lead-in from France, the race itself. Be back in a few for stakes recap action. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues on this Sunday ARC morning.
Flaster was... How would you rate how she is right now as compared to how she was last year?
Yeah, this race has been her aim all year, and really this is the only race that the lads did map the campaign for, and this was the race that they were she was prepared all year for, and everything has went very well in her preparation.
So when you're training champion horses like you do, and of course you're a challenger, but do you think you would celebrate if Enable was able to make a treble and you were part of history, or the most important thing is to make sure that you beat them?
Absolutely. Every horse runs to do their best all the time. And And any horse that wins, you have to be delighted for whoever wins. And I'm sure that'll be the way with everybody in the race.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Aidan. Aidan O'Brien with two chances to upset the great Enable.
Aidan is one of the greatest trainers of all time, and John Gosden likewise. So that they occupy a quarter of the field. Aidan with the two, John, of course, with the one. And Aidan Enable, Britain's only entrant this year for the race, only runner, as we watch Waldgeist, the Prix Foix winner going in. The last Prix Foix winner to win was back in the 80s with Sagas. Long time ago, Arthur.
I think he's only two winners in total anyway over LA France, the other one.
Is that right? So,
it's got a very poor record.
Not the greatest trial then. Nagano Gold there on the right of picture. Great to see him here in the lineup. Well, there's only about three more to go in here. It's the 98th running of the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. It could be important. It could be historical. And describing his 20th arc, our big race commentator, Ian Bartlett.
Thanks, Mike. Soft lights. One was supplemented as the last one forward. Store number six, Yutaki Taki, there, lined up for the arc then. And off they go, racing away. Soft light is the slowest one of them to break into stride. 2,400 metres, a mile and a half in front of them. Nagano Gold quickly drops to the back of the field as Fearment, with a red cap, is the first to show. Blast One Piece in second position. Sotsas is running in third. Gayath around the outside, then Magical. French King is next. Enable comes next. She's just ahead of Kiseki, two lengths away to Japan. Quite a gap then, three or four lengths further back to Soft Light, and the Nagano Gold is at the rear of the field. They begin to settle down. Gayath in the blue colours. He was a bit warm beforehand, and he's moved through to show out in front. Fearmont, Christophe Lemaire, the red cap against the running rail. Next to him is Donica O'Brien on Magical with the white cap, and then Frankie on Enable. She's about three off the running rail, just moving ahead of Sotsas and Christian Dumiro in the green colours. Last One Piece, a light blue jacket, comes next as they run right up now towards the top of the hill. Waldgeist and Kiseki own company with Japan, French King behind those. Little gap then to the red and white of Soft Light. And another gap to Nagano Gold at the rear. So downhill now, they head up down to the home straight. They're well strung out. Enable is in fourth place, the leading trio getting away. It is Gayath in blue leading. Magical, the white cap, a length and a half behind in second place. Then Fearment in third. There'll be about three lengths to Enable. She holds fourth at the moment from Sotsas, and then Blast One Piece. The red of Volkgeist around the outside of Kiseki. Japan is behind those as they run down the full straight now, well on the way to home. Japan three or four from the back of the field, and then French King, Soft Light, and the Nagano Gold. But Gayath will lead them to the home turn. They have only 600 metres to go. Magdalene second, Enable. She's now poised. She's in third position. Sotsas is next. Japan is trying to make progress down the outside. Volkgeist is next. But now Magical. White cap goes on. Enable in second place. She's two lengths behind. 400 metres to go. Here's Japan and also Sotsas with the challenges. Volkgeist behind there, but 300 metres to go. Enable has the lead. Sotsas in the green colours in second. Volkgeist the red down the outside. They're coming to the last furlong now. And it's Enable in front. She leads. Volkgeist in second place. He's closing out the centre. Volkgeist in the red deck is getting up. He's Pierre-Charles Boudin was one of all guys, but Enable. Sotsas was next in Japan. Magical, Soft Light, Kiseki, Nagano Gold, French King, Gayath, then Blast One Piece, and Fearment is next. Well, it wasn't to be, I'm afraid, but it is a V for Volgeist. Pierre-Charles Boudin on board. Number two has won the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, getting through in the closing stages. That might even be a surprise to the jockey who thought the ground might be a bit too soft for him. Well, it certainly wasn't. Number two, Waldgeist has won, and let's go straight to Fanny for reaction.
Traveling lad for André Favre. Richard, what does this mean for you? Qu'est-ce que ça représente pour toi?
Bah, c'est mon premier. Alors, c'est fantastique. Et puis, ce cheval-là, battre Enable, c'est fabuleux, quoi. J'en reviens pas.
No, it's not.
J'en reviens pas. Bravo à toute l'équipe, à Monsieur Favre, à Pierre Charles, à toute l'équipe à l'écurie qui regarde. Qui regarde ça à la télé, c'est fantastique.
Okay. Well, Richard has been working for André Favre for a long time, but this is the first time that he takes actually an arc winner for André Favre, although André Favre has won arcs before. And he said it's an incredible moment, beating Enable, and he wants to thank the whole team and the incredible training job of André Favre and the incredible ride of Pierre-Charles Boudin. Pierre-Charles Boudin on fire this weekend. Incredible, incredible moment. We're, of course, thinking about Enable, but what a training treat.
Oh, Fanny, Enable's gone down fighting all the way. It looked, for most of the race, it looked on, didn't it? But that sort of staying on surge that has been the hallmark of the races throughout her career, it just petered out in the last 75 yards or so there as Waldgeist gives André Favre his eighth Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe and a first for Pierre Charbonneau in a weekend he will never forget.
Absolutely, winner of the four of the biggest races yesterday, Pierre Charbonneau.
Two, eight, 12, 10, 9, as Waldgeist wins the arc. For the majority of the stretch, I thought Enable was not going to be caught. The horses who looked to be coming were actually losing ground, and it seemed like she was just going to hold on to three-peat in the arc. But then Waldgeist in that red jacket there with the green stripes, the green V, started to make a run, and you had a feeling, this may get a little bit close. And as the commentator just said, it was about the last 75 yards. Enable just could not hold off Waldgeist at 13-1. André Favre trainee, a 5-year-old son of Galileo. Nice horse. I mean, this is win number 9 and start number 21. Had won the Pre-Foy prior to this, in prep for this, over the Longchamp course. That set the horse up, obviously, very well for the upset victory this afternoon. Enable runs second. Satsash runs third. And then the two Aidan O'Brien horses, I Like Japan, and Magical run fourth and fifth. And you can see there, Enable just getting a little short in the final stages and gets beaten on this arc day. So does not make history of the three-peat, but still a very, very good career for Enable. So the arc 2019 in the books now. I don't think we're necessarily official yet, but I don't see any reason that it won't go official with a little upset. As I say, I'm looking at 13-1 here for Waldgeist. So if you had the two horse, congratulations. Oui, oui. Bonjour. That's the only French I remember from high school. Again, there are four more races on the arc car. The Prix de l'Opera comes up at about 10:55, and we'll show that as well as the remaining other races from Longchamp this afternoon here on the network, so stay tuned for all that. But racing across America on a Sunday morning means recaps of some of the stakes action from Saturday. And boy, it was a very, very intriguing Saturday with Breeders' Cup implications and beyond. And beyond here would be the Kentucky Derby. First up, let's take a look at the Champagne from Belmont yesterday. I was very excited to see the return of Tis the Law, who looked so good up at Saratoga. We had talked to Jack Knowlton after the victory, and at that point, the horse had come out of the race with a little bit of a ding, and they said, you know what, I think we'll look at the Bond Guard against New York Breds down at Belmont. Well, that came and went, and Tis the Law wasn't entered. We talked with Dave Grenig last week, and he had talked with Barkley Tagg, and it just seemed like coming out of the situation up at Saratoga, they wanted just a little more time, and so they were now looking at either the Champagne or perhaps going to Keeneland for the Breeders' Futurity, or there was another New York bred race coming up a little bit later on. They were kind of going back and forth. Well, entry day was Wednesday, and I guess there was a workout Wednesday morning that convinced Barkley Tagg, let's take our shot. They have to be thrilled. We'll watch the stretch run here. The horse to beat, obviously, was Green Light Go. Green Light Go's the number 3 horse for Jimmy Jerkins, a stakes winner up at Saratoga, so already had a stakes in the resume. But take a look at number 7, Tis the Law, when he gets set down. He got out of the gate kind of funny, and then was in behind horses and clearly wanted to go and kind of ran up on heels and then these in between horses. And you thought, this is a tough ride. Until they got to this point in stretch and he opens up chart margin of 4. This was just a really eye-popping second performance to put a grade 1 on the resume. I texted out or tweeted out, warm up the bus. Because for folks who don't remember, obviously it's Barkley Tagg and Saratoga and Jack Knowlton, the Funny Side crew, who won the Kentucky Derby. And part of the story there was they went to the races, the whole Saratoga team, in a school bus. We'll see if that is the game plan going forward, as, you know, Tis the Law. Clearly now, you would think they have their eyes on the prize of the first Saturday in May after a couple of eye-popping performances. That said, eyes not on the prize for the Breeders' Cup. That's highly unlikely, according to Jack Knowlton comments after the race yesterday. And in fact, I think the Dave Grenig article said highly, 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 may have been four Hileys in there, unlikely. So they haven't necessarily completely ruled it out, but I can see their concerns. You know, a two-year-old shipping across country for the first time around two turns. It sounds like more likely the Remsen in early December. I think that's on that Cigar Mile card. So that may be where we'll see Tislaw next. And I have no arguments with that. Stay fairly conservative. Try to get another nice stakes win on the resume at the end of the two-year-old season, and then kind of sit back and pick your spots to hopefully get you to the Kentucky Derby next year. But, boy, that was really impressive. Green Lake goes second. Big City Bob third. Godzilla maybe a little bit disappointing, running fourth in there. But, again, with a win like that, four lengths over Green Lake Go. Green Lake Go's legitimate. The Jimmy Jerkins horse, nice maiden winner in July at Belmont, and followed that up and validated it in the Saratoga Special with a couple of pretty good buyers for a two-year-old at that time of the year. And Tis the Law off a very good initial buyer. And I was looking on the internet just this morning to see if the buyer was out for the Champagne. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll be interested to see what his number was, because the 90 he fired in the career debut up at Saratoga was, for a two-year-old in the summer, very good. And this was just, really an eye-popping performance. So congratulations to Jack Knowlton, the whole team at Saratoga, Barkley Tagging Team. A very, very nice win in the Champagne. And I should know, you know, Funny Side was great. Went on to not only have the two classics on the resume with the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, but won some stakes races after that. But Funny Side was a gelding. The Tis the Law still intact, so you put a grade one on the resume. The Saratoga people have to be big smile on their faces, I'm sure, thinking, you know, there'd be a little post-race career, too, that we can benefit from in one fashion or another. So, again, congratulations. Turf Classic, we'll take a look at that next. I handicapped yesterday, and I said I was kind of married to Arklow going back to the three-year-old season, and I thought he was better than the record so far this year. Five starts this year, 3 seconds, and a third coming into the race yesterday. I said I'm going to stick with Arklow. Put that one on top, and boy, this is a nice little stretch run from Arklow, because there are points here. He's the number five horse. Channel Maker, number seven. Saddler's Joy, number six. Number two is Channel Cat. And you can see the five there, and it looks like he can't get going, can't get going. And then as we get into the latter stages of the stretch, he not only gets going, but he kind of perseveres when it looks like, is he going to be able to hold this one off? Well, yeah, and not only does he kind of stretches the margin out to half a length. So I thought it was a nice stretch run where it was a ding-dong battle. He had to be gutsy and gritty to get it done. He does. And a nice $4 price, $10 even to win there. Channel Maker runs second. And the favorite at 5-2, Saddler's Joy, runs third. But finally, Arklow breaking through with the grade one victory this year in the Turf Classic after, boy, it's just some tough beats earlier. Second to Channel Maker in the Man of War, a neck second to a maid in the Belmont Gold Cup, a half length back in the Bowling Green, and a second by three lengths in the Kentucky Turf Cup. So he's right there knocking at the door this year. And you can kind of draw a line through the first start. Again, I said five starts, 3 seconds, and a third so far this year. But the first start of the year lost the rider, so it comes on the record. But you know, you got to draw a line through that one. Otherwise, the 3 seconds and a third and those remaining four starts. But breaks through. According to the owners, Dave Grenig was quoting in his article, his follow-up article, they have to look at the Breeders' Cup. Not sure about that one. You would think they would. You would think that would be the game plan, though. But we'll see what's up next for Arklow. All right, that subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf that I like quite a bit. They faced off in the Hill Prince yesterday at Belmont Park, grade two event, $400,000 up for grabs. I did not use Neptune Storm, but this was a horse that was clearly usable. Came in from Southern California and had been running well, had been running good numbers. Neptune Storm is the number 8 horse here. Threat of Blue for Kieran, I thought, was a player. Standard Deviation was my top pick. That one, the number 7, will run 3rd. And Henley's Joy runs 4th. Again, I had the 7 on top, but, you know, winds up 3/4 of a length behind. But I don't know if you ever think that that one is going to wind up the winner, particularly here as Neptune Storm kind of goes by. Nice late run from Standard Deviation, but as I say, you never think, oh, that one's going to get up and get it done. But as I say, Neptune's Joy earlier this year, prior to this race, 7 starts, 3 wins, couple seconds, couple thirds, and most recently out at Del Mar, a couple of close-up finishing positions with good buyer numbers. Made the horse playable. I didn't use it in my mix, but I wouldn't have argued with somebody who looked at it because those two Del Mar races, again, numbers-wise, stacked up well with this one, and that they elected to come cross-country. I mean, it was a competitive field. I was going to say the 10-1 was maybe a little bit generous, but it was a competitive field where I guess some other ones maybe legitimately attracted attention. But, yeah, that what were we morning line? 8-1. Went up a couple of ticks from that. So, again, a little bit generous maybe on Neptune Storm. He's maybe a little bit better than the betting public gave credit for in there. And again, I'm kind of redboarding because I didn't use the horse either, but it was a horse that certainly I had plenty of check marks and circles around, so it was one you could have made a case for. All right, let's go to Keeneland and take a look at some of their stakes action, because likewise they had some stakes action yesterday that will play out into either Breeders' Cup or other opportunities. And we're going to take a look now at the Shadwell Turf Mile. A little bit of an upset, really an upset first, second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth. The favorite in here was Valid Point, which kind of shocked me at 2-1. But Valid Point winds up 10th in the field of 14. The winner, number 5, Bowie's Hero, 8-1. Number 7, Diamond Oops, 12-1. Number 9, Soudois, 20-1. First Premio, 28-1. So again, there's a cavalry charge there, but pulling away by a chart margin of 3/4 is Bowie's Hero, the number 5 horse. Comes in from the West Coast for Phil D'Amato. Just like the turf race we just saw in New York, a Southern California horse coming off of a couple of tries out at Del Mar. The Del Mar Mile last time, a little disappointing running 5th in there as the favorite, but had some traffic trouble. Nice win before that in the Eddie Reed. That was the race that was maybe more what you had to key on. It was a nice field of 14, competitive. We talked about this with Jeremy Plonk yesterday where, boy, you could make cases for quite a few of them in there. I thought March to the Arch was maybe a little bit interesting. That one winds up 5th. At 21-1, though, had a little bit of trouble, so the Marcassi runner maybe had an excuse in there. Again, I am surprised. I talked about Valid Point yesterday when I kind of went off the air and was handicapping a little bit some races, that stakes races that were on after I was going to leave. I was looking forward and just giving some thoughts. Admission Office was the direction I wound up going. That one was really disappointing. Admission Office winds up 11th in the field of 14 for Brian Lynch. But I mentioned Valid Point was a horse I looked at and kind of wanted to go with. I think I mentioned this with Jeremy Plonk yesterday, too. 3-year-old who had won the Secretariat, 3-for-3 in the career. So lately raced, won the Secretariat. But boy, if you go by buyers, the numbers just said that horse had a little bit too much to do. 5-1 on the morning line. And I said to Jeremy, I like the horse, but probably a little too slow given the numbers, but wouldn't be shocked by a good performance. But boy, you would have to have gotten that 5-1 or better to have a good feeling that they set that horse off as the 2-1 favorite. Just surprising because to me, the betting public these days focuses so much on buyer figures that I'm surprised that horse took the action that he did. But as I say, then disappoints. First defeat of the career, 10th in the field of 14. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card and take a look at the 9th race yesterday at Keeneland, which was the Breeders' Futurity. Breeders' Futurity for two-year-olds. And we talked to Jeremy Plunk yesterday, and I texted him afterwards and gave him a little congratulations. He liked Maxfield. And he mentioned, watched the fourth race at Keeneland yesterday because there were a lot of horses that had finished behind Maxfield, and they may give you a barometer on what could happen in the ninth race. So look at the fourth race and get a feel. Well, sure enough, one of the horses who had finished behind Maxfield won the fourth race and kind of flattered Maxfield. Maxfield here, the number six horse, takes the lead and gets off and wins by a chart margin of 5.5. Governor Morris went off as the favorite 3-2 for Todd Pletcher off the big debut victory up at Saratoga. The number 10 horse holds on for second, and Enforceable, the number 5, at 19-1. Nice price on the Marcassi runner that was also coming out of a Saratoga maiden breaker. That one runs third. Ajaweed runs fourth in here. Is that the second choice? Third choice, actually. Second choice was the horse I liked, Tap It to Win, who also was coming off a nice maiden breaker up at Saratoga, which I thought was really impressive. We showed that yesterday. Nice bullet workout coming into this. Tap It to Win winds up last in the field of 10 at 3-1. Maybe just not a two-turn horse. That just looks too much of a dud to believe. So we'll see what the follow-up is with Tap It to Win. But again, he was disappointing. However, Maxfield now, very interesting. Brandon Walsh trains, Godolphin owns, Jose Ortiz on board, and a nice win to go 2-for-2 so far in the career, and you add a grade one to the resume. We'll see what's up next for Maxfield. You would have to think they might be looking at the Breeders' Cup, but another nice two-year-old to keep your eyes on with a good performance. And again, I'm going to be checking Twitter and the internet all day today to see what buyer numbers have come out for some of these races yesterday, because there were certainly some impressive performances. Tis the Law, probably the most impressive, but watch Omaha Beach in a minute or so. That one was very impressive as well. All right, let's take a look finally at Keeneland, the First Lady. This was another nice full field. This one, 13 in here. You could have made a case for quite a few of them. I thought Basilica was interesting coming in off the nice season out in Southern California. Basilica is the number 6 horse. But boy, Uni, the number 4 for Chad Brown, gets it done. I will mention the other Chad Brown, the one that everybody was on at 6-5, number 11, Rushing Fall. She's going to wind up 4th and disappoint in here a little bit. Just came up a little flat, said Javier Castellano in the stretch. But the other Chad Brown, Uni, man, gets the momentum going and zips right by Julie Foxtrot, who was clearly a player in here as well. Basilica gets up nice late for 3rd, Rushing Fall 4th. Uni comes out of the 4-star Dave last time where, excuse me, they tried the boys. Well, they tried some of the boys, but that was the nice performance by Got Stormy. Raging Bull 2nd, Uni 3rd in there. Prior to that, had won the Perfect Sting down at Belmont for only the first start of the season. So the 4-star Dave was only the 2nd start of the season. This was only start number 3 of 2019. She went 4-for-4 last year. So again, she's been kind of lately raced over the past couple seasons, but nice performance yesterday from Uni. Not the expected Chad Brown, but also not a big price. It was Chad Brown with a pretty talented runner coming off a couple of nice performances. So Rushing Fall finishing 4th at 6-5. But Uni was the second choice. Yeah, the second choice at 3-1. So $8 on Uni there at Keeneland in the First Lady. All right, as I alluded to a moment ago, Tis the Law, probably the most impressive performance of the day, but this was pretty impressive too. Omaha Beach, who hadn't been seen since winning the Arkansas Derby in April. Richard Mandela had tried to get the horse to the races a couple other times, wasn't able to do it. Finally, this was kind of the last option if they still have the Breeders' Cup in their sights. And it was the last option to try to get the horse to the track, but to try a sprint meant kind of changing up training and whatnot as well. So off the layoff and kind of switching things up. Bullet Workout 46 and change coming into this. But Omaha Beach was going to face Chancelot, who we saw fire that 121 buyer winning the Amsterdam at Saratoga. Subsequently, a near-miss third in the Jerkins going seven, but cutting back to six, having also worked out very well at Santa Anita. Chancelot was going to be very tough, and that's the way it proved out. Chancelot's the number three horse here. Omaha Beach, the number two. At this point, I thought Chancelot is just going to kind of open up and run away. The call here was, you know, from Frank Viramonte was, Omaha Beach is coming, Omaha Beach is coming. I just, almost the entire stretch, I thought, nope, Chancelot is going to hold. But Mike Smith does not give up. This, again, given the scenario, visually in the by a margin, Tis the Law, as I say, maybe the most impressive performance of the day. But this was pretty darn impressive, too. Given, as I say, layoff since April, going a mile and an eighth down at Oaklawn in the Arkansas Derby. Chancelot being as talented as he is. A couple of three-year-olds squaring off in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship yesterday. And just never say die from Omaha Beach. Just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. And gets up. Chart margin was ahead. 30 cents to the dollar favorite was Chancelot, so he actually wound up with a decent little $7.20 on a horse that many people early in the year thought was, well, we had John White on yesterday, thought was the best three-year-old in the land. But it was admittedly a tough scenario to overcome. The long layoff and then cutting back to the sprint distance and facing clearly a very talented sprint runner. The follow-up article in the Racing Form, Richard Mandela was kind of laughing, saying, maybe I'll try three Breeders' Cup races, because he has options now where he could go to the sprint, he could go to the mile, or he could go to the classic, the dirt mile or the classic. All options seem to be open. You would think over the next few days maybe some clarity will come there, although they may just kind of sit on things and wait until they get closer before they decide. But Omaha Beach, nice looking comeback. Great training job from Richard Mandela. So nice performances. We left a few stakes out of the mix, but you can check out charts and whatnot online. And again, I will be checking all day for buyer numbers, because I'm dying to know some of these, particularly Tis the Law. I'd love to know what he got. So we'll check those. And if I pull those up as the day progresses, again, we'll kind of jump in and give you a little info there. All right, about time to take a break. We'll take a break. We'll send out the smoke signal for Anthony Stabile, the big A, Anthony Stabile from the New York Racing Association. We're going to invite him in and get some thoughts on today's Empire Six. Don't forget, $725,000 currently in the pool, and it is a mandatory pay on the Empire Six, 20-cent increment. You can put together a nice little ticket for a reasonable amount of money and take your shot. They have to pay the whole thing out today. And as I said, I'm guessing $2 million into the pool today is probably within shouting distance of being correct. Could be more, could be a little bit less, but I'm thinking two probably is about the right guess to make a good starting point. We'll see how it works out when we get closer to the that fifth race post time this afternoon. But again, we'll take a break, come back. Anthony Stabile will join us. A little Belmont talk right after this.
is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup Win and Earn Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our Win and Earn race, provides the top middle distance horsing in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Morning, Seth. What's happening?
Not too much. We're going to talk a little Empire Six. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to get some thoughts. We did a little recap of some of the stakes action yesterday. I showed two races from both coasts that I thought offered impressive performances. I thought Omaha Beach, gutsy and gritty, getting up late to beat Chancelot. But to me, the most impressive performance of the day, and I'd love your opinion, Tis the Law looked great in the Champagne.
Yeah, the 2 2-year-olds impressed me the most. Tis the Law and Maxfield, who made that prolonged, I don't know, half-mile move. He launched his bid at around a half-mile pole in Kentucky at Keeneland in that Breeders' Futurity and just kept on mowing along. Yeah, the 2 2-year-olds impressed me the most. Nice comeback from Omaha Beach. Real gutsy effort, like you said, coming up the inside and running down a very fast Chancellor. Man, I wish I knew where that Amsterdam performance came from. We haven't seen that horse now in his last two races, Chancellor. He ran a lot better yesterday than I think he did in the Jerkins. But, man, curious to see where that performance went, see if it comes back. But we saw a lot of good performances yesterday. Tis the Law for me as well, the most impressive.
Yeah, he was very good. Looking forward. I sent out a tweet, warm up the school bus, because Jack Knowlton and company have another good one. All right, let's get into the Empire Six and get some thoughts. We have the French race coming up at about 5 of, but that gives us about 15 minutes or so to take a look at this sequence. $725,000 already in. What is your guess? I said a couple million. That's within reach?
Oh, I think it'll be more than that. I got a lunch bet with Steve Grabowski, my HRRN partner. I say, and there's 7.25 waiting, I say it gets to $6 million.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, nice. All right. So, again, I said to people at the 20-cent increment, you can put a nice little ticket together, jump in. Let's give some ideas. Fifth race at Belmont today kicks off the Empire Six, state-bred maiden 50s. I went 4, 9, 3, and 10. I'm going to take a little shot with Broadway Angel by Central Banker. I like that. Todd Pletcher, since the end of the Saratoga meet, seems to be on a nice little run. I'm heading in that direction. What are your thoughts on the fifth?
Yeah, I'm definitely using. You can scratch the 2 and the 6, by the way, in race 5. Yeah, I'm using Broadway Angel, first up by Central Banker, like you said. Going outside to the another first up by Micromanage for Rudy Rodriguez, the 12 Micro Margarita, who's after some useful runners. Now, the mares are getting up there in age. Bash, I think she's 28 years old, 26 years old. So those halves came many moons ago, but always worry about Rudy when he debuts him for the tag. He wins at about 15%. Using the other Rudy in here, the 9B Magic. Maybe some Charlie Baker, first of the 5, Big Red Girl. And the horse at the price, I don't have morning lines, but the 1 Top Hat Invasion drops for the 3rd consecutive time. Gets a rider change to Kendra Carmouche and a pair of blinkers for Jeffrey Engelhardt. I think she might be the most dangerous one coming in with the equipment change and the rider change.
Yeah, 12-1 on the morning line. And I had a couple check marks there, and I looked at putting that one in the mix and eventually just went away. The buyers are a little bit light, but I agree. That's one that I wouldn't be shocked to see that one step up and maybe make a little noise at a price. Sixth race this afternoon. These are 2-year-old fillies, maiden specials going 3/4 of a mile. I have it 9, 7, 4, and 3. Money never sleeps. I'm looking forward to this one. Another Pletcher firster, but by Munnings, he produces win early types of the dam. Couple of siblings, Candy Asset won the first 2 starts of the career. Unbridled Daddy was 4th in the first start, then won the 2nd start. So I thought win early, top and bottom. So nature and nurture for me at work with the number 9. What were your thoughts on the 6th?
you're not going to want to leave the 11 Yellow Brick Road out. Okay. I got a little push on this horse. And, you know, John Kimmel's two-year-olds all seem to be running this year, and I like when horses, when a barn has, when a barn's two-year-olds has a couple of good ones, normally they're all, they all run a little better because they all train together, and I think they make each other better. It sounds a little ridiculous, but I think they do, and I got to push this horse can run a little bit, so I'm going with the 11 Yellow Brick Road. You could take out the two AEs, the 13 and the 14. Going Little Yellow Brick Road. Shug's horse, the number two, Power Move. Trophy Wife was 3-for-10. She was useful. This horse got a couple of really nice works, a 49 out of the gate, a 48 change out of the gate, then at 59 Bullet. You know, when they work fast for Shug, they're usually doing it on their own. So I'm using Power Move. Going to use Good Shabbos because I wouldn't want a horse who has run second and three consecutive starts and hasn't run that badly to beat me. Maybe a little Tony Dutrow, Amazing Ride, a first of a Candy Ride. Dam was 4-for-12, earned 220,000. This horse is working well. You want to use Todd. I'm using like 5 or 6 in here. Definitely 2, 4, 6 in the top picks, the 11 Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, this is a tough race because I'll toss in another one. Godolphin has Lake Avenue with Bill Mott. Tap It On Top, 7th Street. Sibling to Marking. That one won its first two starts. Nice little workout coming into this. This sixth race, maybe. This is one where hopefully you can find something to go a little light because I think folks have to spread in the sixth.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the, like those Sonoman race yesterday. And, of course, I went 6 deep in the Sonoman race and put Sonoman on top. So it took me 6 places to find my top pick at 4-1.
Yeah, that's always the way, isn't it?
Yes.
Stakes race in race number 7, the Futurity. They're on the grass. The two-year-old's going 6 furlongs. I put Four-Wheel Drive on top. I've liked the Colonial horses as they've moved on to other venues since that meet wrapped up. And this one not only won the debut, but won a stakes race down at Colonial in that career debut for Wesley Ward. You know, I'm being master of the obvious here at 9-5, but I have that one. I have it 4, 3, 5, and 6. What are your thoughts on the Futurity?
I have it 4, 3, 5, 1, but on my Empire 6 pick, and I'm not going past 4 and 3. Four-Wheel Drive, impressive in the debut. Embolden, you know, Save Tomato Bill. Embolden's the only horse to have won on the turf. Tomato Bill was on the lead on the dirt. Embolden went wire to wire on the turf in 2 consecutive starts. Hoping Joel Rosario is aggressive. I just want Embolden in Four-Wheel Drive. Four-Wheel Drive's debut. If he comes back and runs that race, he'll crush these.
Yeah, Embolden also coming out of a stakes win down at Colonial. At Belmont in the 8th race, we're halfway through the sequence. The Flower Bowl Invitational, $500,000 up for grabs. Here's where you may have your single. Sister Charlie is in here. How often do you see 1-5 on the morning line? But a field of 7, and Sister Charlie, again, kind of stands out. I'm just looking here. Yeah, no scratches. So, again, this seems like the free square on the sequence.
The only big one she hasn't won on the East Coast for the fillies and mares. She's never run in the Flower Bowl. Chad Brown and Peter Brandt and John Velasquez are going to tick this one off the box today. Yeah, she's the free bingo square in the middle of the card. Please check this box and move on according.
Yeah, it's an interesting race just because she's a big name. We just saw Nabel go down, though, in France. We'll see how that works out. But I think Sister Charlie, and Nabel was questionable. There were some cases you could have made for other good horses. I think Sister Charlie has this field over a barrel. The Frisette, race number 9, $400,000 up for grabs for the two-year-old fillies going a mile. I went 3-1-7-2, Wicked Whisper on top for Steve Asmussen. But I thought the Baffert runner, it's just, you always have to pay attention to these Baffert runners when he ships in. If you're looking at the buyers may be a little bit light, but again, Baffert coming in from the West Coast intrigues me. 3-1-7-2 for me. What did you see in the Frisette?
I saw 3-7-2-1. Quality response, 3 starts in 5 weeks. That is not something Bob Baffert ordinarily does. Shipping this daughter of Quality Road out east for this Frisette. Wicked Whisper was gates of wire at Saratoga the day after the Travers. It was a real impressive effort. Daughter of Liam's Map. You know, she was really under cruise control. I think Wicked Whisper just takes them gates of wire. Frank's Raquette gets a big rider change to John Velasquez. Maybe she's the one just stalking her. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to go 2 or 4 deep. If I throw in the other 2, it'll be Quality Response and the 2 Daphne Moon. I really like Wicked Whisper, and I think the rider change for Frank's Raquette's going to help. I may just keep it to 3 and 7 if I use the other 2. I'm not going to use one of the other 2. I'm either going to use both Quality Response and Daphne Moon, or I'm going to throw both of them out of my ticket. 3-7-2-1 for me with Wicked Whisper to top that.
All right, and we wrap things up race number 10, State Bred Maiden 40s, going 7 furlongs on the grass. Full field in here. We do have some scratches, the 1A, the 10, the 14, and the 15. I'm going to pull in one of those AEs that makes it in. Daring Disguise looks pretty good getting in first on the AE list. But with the scratch, that one will go. Goes out for Linda Rice with numbers that I think stack up nicely with this group. Big Wonder in the body of the field is also a play for me. I have a 13, 5, 7, and 11. What are your thoughts on the 10th?
I'm using 6 in here. 3, 4, 6, 8. 11, 13. I took straight out of Compton as my top pick in here. It gets a big chain of change. Jimmy Toner hasn't been around for a year. You know, I almost look at the sources as if he's a first-time starter. I really do. Because Jimmy is just so good at what he does. And had this horse for a while now. And, you know, like I said, if I'm looking at this horse almost like he's just starting his career, and that's kind of how I feel. I would take any kind of first in here. Snow Lion's a horse you got to use, I think. It's really a spread fest for me, Seth. I wish I had something more clever to say, but I'm just going to use those 6 horses and pray that I'm alive going into the finale.
Again, it's an interesting sequence in that there are races that kind of demand spreading, but Sister Charlie, I think, maybe gives you that opportunity. And keep my fingers crossed that you've nailed it with maybe $6 million in the pool being added. It's going to be fun just to watch as that kind of counter counts up a little bit. Again, I advise folks to jump in at the 20-cent increment. You can put a whale-sized ticket together for a reasonable price. Anthony, just before we let you go, I want to go back to Jockey Club Gold Cup. We were down, obviously, and had you on talk a little bit before the race, but I was just curious your thoughts. From seeing you the next day on the air, I think you're with me. I was kind of surprised that there was so much outrage over the DQ in that I thought they moved out 4 pass and bumped a couple times. As I stood in the winner's circle and talked to people, I said, you know, given the margin of victory, I think they kind of have to switch this. So I wasn't shocked by the DQ. It's unfortunate a big race like that ends like that, but I thought they made the right call.
As easy a DQ as I think I've ever seen. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I kind of feel like when you've taken down a horse in the Kentucky Derby, everything gets a whole lot easier. I really do. It shouldn't, but it does. You know? He initiated contact twice, and that's big here in New York. Jimmy Edwards told me that before he retired. They take the contact far more seriously than they do the hurting. And when Vino Rosso makes that contact twice, it kind of becomes a no-brainer. And then you combine it with the fact that they brushed a couple of more times in the lane, and Code of Honor actually got his head in front at one point. Despite all of the contact, you lose by a nose, the numbers got to come down.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. With the margin, it was just, you watched the head on, it was like 4 paths they moved out, that his forward momentum gets moved diagonally. So I wasn't shocked either.
You know what's funny, Seth? I think this becomes a conversation, too. Johnny held his ground with Code of Honor. I wonder how many more numbers would get ripped down if guys held their ground or gals held their ground and didn't allow the herding to happen. Really, I think they take a lot more horses down here. But more often than not, the intimidation factor in the herding, the jock that's on the horse getting herded, more often than not drifts with the horse doing the herding. Wonder if they take a couple of bumps here. If they start to, A, the herding stops, B, they start ripping a lot more numbers down, which I think they should.
Well, and this I brought up last week, reading social media, a lot of people are saying, oh, that herding happens all the time. To me, herding is just what you kind of alluded to. It's more intimidation. The horse on the inside starts to move, and then the horse and or jockey on the outside reacts to that, but there's no contact. The forward momentum is stopped, but there's no contact. That was the difference in the Jockey Club. There was a couple of bumps. So once the
no question about it. No question about it. And if some of these guys and gals just stood their ground and took the bump, I know that's not safe, but listen, there's 2 ways to look at it. You can either allow it to continue to happen and you can't say anything, or you can take the bump and see what happens. Yeah. I would choose the latter, but I'm a little messed up in the head.
No, but it's an interesting conversation on that whole herding area, because again, I think I don't blame the jockey either for kind of, I don't want to bump, and so they go out, but then they get penalized for that in a non-DQ kind of penalty situation. So the conversation, I think, is worth having maybe with stewards overall. But, again, to me, last week wasn't the hurting kind of a situation. Anthony, appreciate the visit and the conversation. You're talking horses a little bit later?
Yes, sir. By the half hour, let's cash them tickets today.
All right. Very good. That's the game plan. Always appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again.
You got it, Seth.
The Big A, Anthony Stabile, giving some ideas. And he had a couple of clever ones in there that maybe you want to put on your ticket. The one that maybe is the most clever, he said he had a little push on Yellow Brick Road in the sixth race, the Kimmel Firster, who does have a couple of nice workouts underneath. So maybe you'll have to take an extra look at that. I have not formulated my Rainbow Six ticket yet. I do have to put one together, obviously, for the bankroll team. And again, we will be out on the front side of the clubhouse racebook through the remainder of the afternoon. I'll move out there in an hour or so, and we'll be taking a look at racing this afternoon, doing a normal OTB live, but also concentrating as we get closer to it on the Empire 6 ticket, because I'll play that for the bankroll team. So it should be a lot of fun. Come on down to the clubhouse racebook. If you don't have some plans, you can also watch all the football action as well. And in fact, I will promo and essentially wrap it up, might as well, because we're going to go to the French race. NFL football every Sunday during the season here at the clubhouse racebook. Wear a jersey, you get in for free, put your name on a square. Perhaps you win a jersey or a food voucher. So keep that in mind on Sundays throughout the NFL football season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, where, again, we will be with the bankroll this afternoon. Be out on the front side doing an OTB live and cut-ins all afternoon here on the network, but you can come down and join us live. Love to see you down here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, coming up next is the Prix de l'Opera. I'm just looking. The number 7 taking plenty of action, coming out of a second place finish last time at Goodwood for John Gosden. One at St. Cloud or St. Cloud, two starts back in June. But that one, as I say, taking the action at 6-5. Everybody else offering a little bit of value in this upcoming Prix de l'Opera at Longchamp this afternoon on the ARC card. Enable Beaten ran a good second, and it was really up until the last 75, 80 yards that she looked like she was going to hold on, but Waldengeist gets it done in the ARC with Enable running second in there. So she does not get the historic three-peat, but boy, again, it was just it has been a fabulous, fabulous career for Enable and Connection, so we congratulate them on what I believe is the career swan song. All right, we'll send it to Longchamp, and I think this is the 5th of 8. It is race number 5 of 8 from France on this Sunday morning/afternoon, because they will go into the afternoon with the next 4 races, but we're going to go to the Prix de l'Opera, race number 5. They're about 3 minutes from post. We'll send you there. Enjoy the rest of the French racing action and stay around for lots of great American racing action kicking off in about an hour or so. As they say, I'll be in here with OTB Live doing cut-ins throughout the afternoon as well. So we'll see you a little bit later. Enjoy the racing.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.